The greatest gift that we can give our children and our children's children is to de-shitify.
I love that.
Deal with our own shit.
Yeah. It is so poignant, and it is so, and it wraps it up so beautifully.
It's the greatest gift we can give, so that we're not being triggered, so that we're not reactive, so we're. And generational trauma is a thing. It's scientifically proven. It's passed on in the methylation of the DNA. It's passed on in our genetic expression.
Welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design, the podcast that dives deep into the heart of thriving through pregnancy, birth, and beyond. If you aspire towards exceptional parenthood and are looking to navigate the joys and challenges of raising children in our fast-paced world, you've found your tribe. I'm Philippa Scott, and
I'm Philippa Cox. Together, we're Philippa Squared, unpacking the real talk on modern parenting, peeling back the layers of its complexity from pregnancy and birth to the adventures beyond. This podcast is your guide to unraveling the nuances of parenting in today's world.
And we're keeping it real, sharing stories and having conversations with insightful guests, giving you clarity and direction on your parenting journey.
This is where your adventure begins, transforming the challenge into a journey of wonder and joy, where you discover ways to craft your own parenthood map, not just follow the one handed down to you.
So settle in, get comfy, and let's laugh, learn, and grow into the parent you aspire to be. Welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design.
Hello, and welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design. I am super excited to bring this episode to you today, which is why my words aren't working. Pippa, first of all, hello. Thank you for joining me again.
Hello, and I know you're super excited. Keep on going. Tell me what you're super excited about, Philippa.
I'm super excited because today we have Judith Richards on our podcast. Judith is the creator of TRTP, the Richards Trauma Process, and is not only someone I'm pleased to call friend, but is a great mentor to me. So Judith, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Pip. And the sun has just come out here, and I've been compensating for no light in here, and I think I'm overcompensating, but I'm just glowing today. Lovely to be here, Philippa, and lovely to meet you, Pippa. I've been watching your work.
You're certainly glowing, Judith. Yeah. You certainly are glowing.
Yes, thank you, Pippa. I've been watching your work in Fantastic Futures from afar with great applause.
Aw, thank you.
So well done.
Well, for those of you who don't know, TRTP is the cornerstone of the work that I do with families, with parents, with those who have trauma. And it's thanks to Judith Richards for creating that process. So we thought, who better to talk about, you know, parenting and how trauma impacts parenting than the master trauma healer herself, Judith Richards. So Jude, can you just tell us, we like to start off with, you know, how did you get here? Now, I know people don't need to hear all the gory details because you've had a pretty pretty traumatic story, but please tell us how you got to this point.
Okay. I was born when I was very young and it went downhill from there. So I've had a life of rather extreme trauma. I was the youngest of eight in a very large family that had its own interesting dynamics. I won't go there. And we were Catholic, obviously, eight kids. I mean, hello. And so a number of priests took a keen interest in myself and some of my siblings without, you know, you can fill in the details yourself. And then I went to a Catholic girls' school, and in my early teens, I was groomed and sexually abused by a Catholic nun. You don't hear much about the nuns. And then I worked my way up through the hierarchy of violent lunatics, stalkers, abusive relationships, et cetera, until I found myself in a really bad situation. And that person was a psychopath who was into torture. And I was in that situation for about 9 years and then spent a couple of years in surgery while the doctors put my body back together again. They'd said I'd be in chronic ill health and chronic pain for the rest of my very short life. That was in 99. There are other family members involved, which I won't go into, but I had to find a way through not just my physical injuries, but I got to a big crisis point. I was, I think the technical phrase is fifth, effed in the head, basically, with extreme PTSD, various, living in various personalities, living in hallucinations and in and out of psychosis. And that was a real gift. That was when I brought everything together. So I worked on this for 11 years intensively. I stayed away from the medical system because I wanted to keep enough of my mind clear so that I could find a way. I was blessed with ridiculous optimism, and I thought there must be a way. I just have to find it. I went to mental health people and I quickly stopped that because that was just making me worse. And I was living above the shoe shop, for those who know the hinterland of the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. I was living above the shoe shop in Mullaney. And the teenagers used to call me MBL, Mad Beanie Lady, because I'd go up and down the street talking 1,000 miles an hour, saying the same thing again and again and again. You know, typical mad woman. And then people in Mullaney saw me get well, saw me become me again. And they just started bringing their loved ones to me. I put them through what I had done to get myself well, and they got well, and more people came and more people came. And I didn't realize I was doing anything different. And then there was a professor supposed to be coming to an event to speak about trauma. He ended up in hospital, and I was asked if I would take his place. I said, well, I don't present. They said, well, you do now. And at the end of that, I had people lining up asking me to teach them. I said, I don't teach. They said, well, you do now. So I didn't intend any of this. It just was a natural progression that just happened. And so the first group I taught, a group of 12, there was a psychiatrist in that group who specialized in PTSD. And during the training, at a certain point of training when she knew what to do, she cleared her books in 5 weeks. So much so that the receptionists in the medical building she was working in sent a delegation to ask her, what are you prescribing now? Is it legal? And are we implicated by being on the premises? Is there going to be a drug bust? Because we've been seeing some of your patients coming for 20 years and now they're walking out well. What are you giving them? And she assured them she was getting them off meds. And they went back into their workplaces and people saw the results they were getting with their clients and they came. And so that was the first group I taught was in mid-2014, which is at this point, just over 10 years ago, getting much better at teaching it these days. And so we've taught well over 1,000 practitioners and we're just, we've begun moving into the States, the US in the last, just this year. And it has taken about 7 years to get ethics approvals from Melbourne University to begin our research. I have within my graduate community people who are academics and they're taking the research, and our first pilot study, because we now have ethics approval, will be published in the next couple of months with extraordinary results. I'm only allowed to say interesting results, but that will allow us to get funding to do bigger studies, hopefully. So there we are. That's in a nutshell.
Amazing. And as somebody who has been on the other side of TRTP, who experienced that as at the time, a very, very stressed mother with 4 neurodivergent children and adrenal fatigue, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you. And there's more to the story of Philippa and I. Philippa came to help to work in the business, and I had been looking for somebody who I could assist to move into the realm of birth trauma and families, having been through birth trauma myself, I died in childbirth. I had preeclampsia. I had an interesting experience. So I've been looking, and Pip was there in my office. I said, you need to do this training. You need to become a practitioner with your experience as a doula for so many years. I don't know if people knew that Philippa was responsible for creating and building, physically building, not brick by brick herself, but organizing the building of a birthing center in Townsville, creating community there amongst young young women involved in the military. Philippa has a number of genius zones. One of them is building community. She understands that right through her soul. And the other is birth trauma and how we pass on our stuff to our kids. And so I've been so happy to mentor Philippa to really get her going, because this is an area so close to my heart. So thank you, Philippa, for running with that.
That's an absolute pleasure. It's given me a whole new purpose in life, and for that I'm very grateful as well. You know, one of the reasons we wanted to get you on to talk is because, you know, we talk a lot about doing the work, right? Pippa and I say it all the time, just do the work, do your own work, get yourself well. And you summed it up beautifully before. What's your phrase that you use?
I said, just when I first came on this call, I mentioned a phrase I use. The greatest gift that we can give our children and our children's children is to de-shitify.
I love that.
Deal with our own shit.
Yeah. It is so poignant, and it is so, and it wraps it up so beautifully.
It's the greatest gift we can give, so that we're not being triggered, so that we're not reactive, so we're, and generational trauma is a thing. It's scientifically proven. It's passed on in the methylation of the DNA. It's passed on in our genetic expression.
So, Judith, because this is such a new concept to so many people, I know for Philippa and I, we know a lot about generational trauma. Are you able to just talk a little bit more about the science behind it and about what's been proven? Because
Sure.
It's so real. Thank you.
Okay, let's look at some of the studies that have been done. There was a study done on survivors of the Holocaust. They looked at the genes of some of those survivors and found, because a gene isn't just one thing, a gene is a warehouse of information. It's filing cabinets full of stuff. Which filing cabinet gets opened and a file taken out is largely determined by our environment. And so there's a part of a gene that is responsible for our stress response. And they found on these people who'd been through the most horror movie, horrific dreadfulness, that there was a tag on this part of the gene, which meant if you have this much of a stressor, the response would be over the top. And it makes sense, doesn't it? If there's a stressor, there's something bad coming, I am so alert and I'm so onto it so that I survive. It's logical. Having been through that, to try and avoid it again. The offspring of these people had the same tag, small stressor, massive stress response in their whole physiology, in their psychology, in their energy. The grandchildren, same tag, small stressor, gargantuan stress response. And it makes sense that the offspring will have a better chance of survival if that happens again. So there's also studies done, I can't remember if it was rats or mice. Anyway, rodents. They did a study where it's terrible what they do to these poor creatures. They did a study where they'd put these dear little furry creatures in an area, you know, enclosed area, and would waft the scent of cherry across them. And whenever this waft of cherry scent was picked up, they would be electrocuted. They'd be zapped. So they came to associate that smell with pain. They then went and put these creatures in rat heaven and let them breed. The next generation, they'd put the waft of cherries across. They've never been electrocuted. They've never been zapped. They'd never even smelt cherries before. They would waft the scent of cherries across and they'd go berserk. Got them breeding, the grandchildren of the original fairy critters. Scent of cherries. Ah! So there's the genetic expression, tags here and there to things like the stress response. There's memory that's passed down. There's distress, pain, you know, all of rage, all of that is passed down in the methylation of the DNA. It's a real thing. I had a client in the early days who, a gorgeous girl, beautiful family, very loved. You know, she was born into wonderful circumstances where she was very loved and nurtured and challenged and really smart girl, highly educated. When I met her, she was about 27, 28. She had a very responsible job. She was doing really well. But she couldn't go to sleep unless her mum, her aunt, or her sister was in her bed. This has been all her life. When the sun went down, she would start to freak out, have high anxiety and panic attacks. And I knew the family, and her mum had told me when I asked when it started that she was born like that. Even as a baby, she would just be inconsolable once the sun went down. And I looked through her history. This girl had the most charmed life I'd ever come across. There was no trauma. There was not even much trauma. She was never bullied at school. She was always treated well by her teachers, by her peers. Nothing had happened. No big accidents, no illnesses. I thought maybe it's not her. Maybe she came in with it. So then I was asking her about trauma in her parents. And her grandparents on both sides had been through the Second World War in Europe. I will not vicariously traumatize your viewers by explaining what happened to each of these pairs of grandparents. It was desperately horrific. What had happened to her parents was just beyond comprehension. I thought, well, this isn't her stuff. So I thought, okay. So I figured out a way to deal with it and to turn it off. This girl, a couple months later, sent me a lovely message because this was not doing a lot for her love life. You know, late 20s, have to have mum or sister or aunt in bed in order to go to sleep. Can't have a man in bed. Freaks out when the sun goes down, can only have a good time during the day. She sent me, and photos she sent me of her having a lovely weekend away with her new boyfriend. Enjoying the nightlife. Doing stuff at night. Clubbing. So, yeah, it can be. I've figured out a way to just turn that off. And if we turn it off, we stop it going further along the generation. And, you know, you look at what happened in the last century. We've had two world wars. We've had Holocausts. We've, you know, just within Australia, with our Indigenous people, it's just been the despair, the distress. We can turn that off. We can de-shitify generationally into the future. Do that and deal with our own baggage and stuff that we've accumulated along the way to being parents. And it's extraordinary what happens in a family. I've worked with one person in a family, one mum, and then months and months later, I had someone ring me up with a suicidal early 20s girl, a girl who'd been left in the bush for dead. I won't go into that story either. And I said, yes, I can see her, bring her tomorrow. She won't be here tomorrow. So I said, okay. I had a very long day. I said, so bring her at the end of that day. And we did some work and she was fine then. She went from compulsively suicidal to quite calm and happy. And I said, how did you find me? I said, well, you worked with Aunt Jane. And I had worked with 15 people in that family. I didn't even know they were all related. Because when one person does the work and throws themselves in and does whatever is required to turn off what's going on that's not working inside them, and turn it off for the family, it's extraordinary what happens. And the results are so obvious that, well, I want what she's having. And it's not unusual to have whole families and extended families impacted by this and the dynamics shift. It's really interesting. I have a rule that I teach my graduates that if you're working with a young person, a teenager, a child, you always work with at least one parent or caregiver first, because you can take a sick fish out of a sick pond, clean it up, put it in a clean pond, it'll thrive and grow. Sick fish, sick pond, clean it up, put it back in that toxic pond. Guess what? It's going to get sick again. And it's really interesting that it's not unusual at all, but you work with the parent and the kid's problems just go away. Hey, it was the pond. It's not always, but it allows the parents to create the environment in which that family can thrive, in which that young person can thrive, in which they can thrive. Because so much of our lives as busy mums working, raising the family, dealing with relationship stuff, and we're running on deficit. And, you know, you've got a cup of coffee in your hand, you get bumped, oh, you spill the coffee. We give out what's inside us. Let's create the internal environment where if we're bumped, it's okay for the person who bumps us. Yeah. It just brings us back to love.
I love that, Jude. Yeah.
It's a beautiful metaphor as well. Beautiful metaphor.
Yeah, I'm a sook. You know, this means so much to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a sook, but it's
me
okay.
Me too. You and me, we're just sitting around the tissue box, really. So it, you know.
But it's not tears of despair and distress.
No.
It's the hundreds and hundreds of parents I've worked with and just seeing their family blossom. It's just mind-blowing. It's a humbling, humbling, deep, deep, quiet privilege. Yeah, so anyone listening, greatest gift we can give our kids is to de-shitify, to give ourselves that gift.
Yeah.
Things like change.
Things like change. And they can change. And it in society, particularly today, and it just seems to be getting worse, we're running around like we're not even, like we're running on automatic.
We're running
if we feel like we're shit, that shit is normal. It's normalized within us, but it doesn't have to be that way.
No, most of us are running on survival mode.
Yeah.
We're just all energy, just going into maintaining life and getting through the day, and we're exhausted and our kids are there. And so it's easy to be emotionally absent and just hand over a screen. And where's the wine? It's nearly 5 o'clock, you know. It doesn't have to be that way.
And I don't think most parents go into parenting. I think most of us go into parenting thinking this is going to be a wonderful, joyful, love-filled experience. We don't go into it thinking, oh, if I can just survive parenting.
No.
It's not the intention when we set out. We set out to create a family, to have something beautiful in our world. And then because we haven't de-shitified, we end up getting to sometimes only weeks or months into the experience, and when there are literally decades ahead of us, and we are merely surviving. And we can't even see what thriving might look like.
Exactly. And it's like we don't even realize, we don't realize there is another way.
That's right.
And we don't realize that we're traumatized. Even, you know, you've got your big T traumas and your second and your little T traumas, don't you?
Yeah. And I've heard so many parents say, oh, well, the child's only very young. They won't remember.
No.
Now, if you're listening and if you go, oh, that's what I think, it's not true, because everything is recorded in the unconscious of that child, and that will impact how they go into the world. So what happens in those first 7 years is going to program that child for the rest of their lives until they learn how to uninstall the software that's not working and install the positive, which is what TRTP does. And we can become the designers and architects of our life and of who we are. But just be aware, it's scary that the environment that that child is raised in will program them for the rest of their lives.
Becomes the blueprint, doesn't it?
Yeah. And guess what? In the same way, we were programmed in those first 7 years.
Yes.
And we can change it. We can change the programming.
Yep. And break that tribal cycle.
Mm. Yep. So there's hope.
There's a massive amount of hope, and it's so beautiful to be living in today's society where as much as it is so stressful and so busy in inverted commas, there's also this growing awareness and beautiful modalities like what you have actually worked on and discovered and has perfected. It's really, really good to see that there are avenues out there where people can actually hop onto the street and walk down it, where the sun is shining like you wouldn't even believe it, like the sun is shining out the window today.
Yeah.
After a long time.
And everything that happens to us, you know, so much of it is still running in our system. One of my ex-clients, who's now a dear friend, ex-Special Forces, ex-commando, explained it really brilliantly. He said before TRTP, it was like, you know, when you're on your laptop and you've got every app open, every app running, and you've got about 50 web pages, and you're trying to download something and it's going really slowly. But you think, but I'm working at 100% here. No, the bandwidth that's still available now, it's all being taken up by what's already running, and I've only got that much. And the power, I've only got that much. You see, what TRTP did for me was it was a reboot, shut everything down. And the screen came up and it was clean and clear, and I had 100% bandwidth, 100% energy. And it was a different world.
Love that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tim Thomas. Commando in your corner.
It's really true, isn't it? You know, I when I talk with clients who've been through the process, one of the things that they say, and certainly something I noticed for myself, is that there's this greater awareness of what's happening for us. Because, you know, doing TRT doesn't mean that shit's never going to happen to you again, right?
Oh, no, life goes.
Right. But it's about how much room you've got in your balloon to deal with what's coming in. And when you've got space and when you have clarity and you can see it for what it is, not what it was, you know, in relation to something that happened 20 years ago, but see it for what it is right now, you can look at it and you can go, ah, okay, this is how I wish to respond. Package it up, deal with it. And because the hippocampus is working, you know, it gets filed away, it's done, it's over, and you can move on. And so people talk about this, you know, stuff happens, but they move on so quickly. And the underlying feeling when all of that stuff happens is a sense of calm. Yeah. I've got this and it's okay. Yeah.
Because what the norm is that we're facing a situation here and now, just say our partner is having a really bad day. Don't know about you, but that's what I've experienced on some days. And we get triggered. We're not just responding to our partner here and now. We're responding to past partners, our parents, and other life events that have happened in the past. And we get triggered. Turn that all off. And I'm here and I'm now. And it's just my partner having a bad day. Darling, what do you need? Come on. It's very different.
Yeah.
Same with our kids. You know, so that we don't get triggered, we can turn the triggers off so that we can just go, okay, what's the best way to respond here?
Yeah.
What do you need? Or, hey, I love you. I love you. But you know what? I love me too now. And I deserve to be treated with care and respect. And when you're ready to treat me with the care and respect I deserve, I'll come back. But I'm just stepping away for now. I love you. But I love me too now. So let me know when you're ready.
Yeah, how beautiful is that? Especially if you're dealing with teenagers, right? Like,
yeah.
Is they, you know, and it's funny, I was even just talking to a mum earlier and she was talking about this idea that her child triggers her. Right.
I am triggered by my child. This child does not trigger me.
Yeah. It's a different language, isn't it?
Thank you for that reframe, Judith.
Yeah.
So what is it in me? Triggers are fabulous. Trigger and go, oh, what is it in me that needs care here, that needs some work? It's not you're triggering me and you're triggering me and you're triggering me. It's such victim.
Yeah.
Victim stuff. It's not my fault. You're triggering me. You're making me go off. Okay. Now I'm being triggered by this situation, by this stuff that's going on. So what is it in me that needs to be healed?
Yeah. Love that. Exactly. Taking responsibility for yourself. Love that.
It's very much about taking responsibility, isn't it? And we talk about that all the time on this podcast, that idea that how we show up in the world is a direct response to the decisions we make about whether we're going to do that or not. Now, sometimes we make that decision very consciously, and sometimes it's unconscious and we don't realize that's the decision we're making. But it, for us to, when we know that there is an option, when we know that we can actually set ourselves free from all of that and we choose not to, we're making a conscious choice to not do the work and to stay in that space. But we can choose consciously to show up and do the work and be the kind of parent that we want to be to affect not just the generation that's in our home right now, but the one that comes after and after and after, because you do have the capacity to be the stone that creates the ripple.
Yeah.
So true. And from what I've heard both of you say is that when you do the work and you come out the other side and you've got the skills to be able to continue, that your life is a little bit more manageable.
A little bit. Let's look at that a little bit. Depends what work you do, I guess. I went from being mad beanie lady to me, it is a little bit more manageable.
Exactly.
And what you it were is. Saying, what you were saying, Pip.
You were definitely not wearing a beanie now, that's for sure. No. You're a world-renowned trauma expert. Like, yes. Kudos. Absolutely kudos.
Yeah. Thank you, Pippa. And what you were saying, Philippa, about we get to choose. So many of us buy into this societal lie. I have no choice. This is the hand I've been dealt. This is how I think. This is how I feel. This is how I behave. This is the situation in my life. That's just how it is. I have no choice. And that's the biggest lie. We actually get to choose. I get to choose, not my partner, not my kids, not my family. I get to choose. So what is it that I will choose? And some of my choices are not the right ones. However, then I deal with that, pick myself up and go, okay, I learned a lot from that. What choice will I make now? Because I get to choose. So that's important that we get to choose. Mm-hmm. That's news to some people.
Because we are so hypnotized in our society.
Yeah. And so much of our patterns of thought, emotion, and behavior are run not from our conscious mind. If it was our conscious mind, we could just go, oh, yes, well, I'm just going to eat a really healthy diet and do lots of exercise and be a saint to my children. And that would happen. But it's not run from here. That conscious mind has been proven scientifically. The conscious mind runs 5% of the time. I'll say it again. It's important. That conscious mind runs 5% of the time. 95% is the unconscious. The unconscious is the big guy. When we can tap into the unconscious and reprogram that, uninstall the software that's not working, install the stuff that's going to work, what comes up on the screen of our life will be a completely different story.
Yeah.
A life by design.
Mm. Yeah. It's so important to take charge of that, isn't it? You know, I actually feel really grateful when I experienced TRTP for myself, that concept of I get to choose came very easily for me. One of the gifts that I got from my father was he always said to me, no, you get to choose how you feel. Nobody else gets to decide that for you. You choose how you feel in response to anything that happens around you. So for me, it was actually a relearning of and putting that into, now, don't get me wrong, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows, but that was one of the things that I did get. But I hadn't figured out how to apply that to the other areas of my life. And one of the things that I learned through TRTP was how to take command of all of those areas of my life that I wanted to shift. You know, all of the bits, I get an emotion that comes in, and emotions are meant to teach us, right? They're there for us to feel and acknowledge, and we learn something from them. They will teach us something we need to know. But as soon as we are finished with that, when it's no longer serving us, I get to change it. So if I'm experiencing imposter syndrome and that syndrome is telling me that I need to learn a new skill, that I'm not quite skilled enough at what I'm doing, great. I go and I sign up for another course and I learn, but I don't keep that feeling. At that point, I get to choose. Okay, I am enough. I choose to know I am enough. And that's one of the most incredible tools that I think has come out for me in TRTP long term. And I know, Jude, you use them regularly as well, still, that idea of being able to choose when something happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are more powerful than we ever imagined.
Yeah. And even Viktor Frankl, what was that book that he wrote?
Search for Meaning.
Search for Meaning. I mean, he articulated that beautifully, didn't it, when he was talking about his life in a Jewish camp back in World War II, and how it was his choice of how he perceived his reality that got him through it.
Yeah.
Yep. It's extraordinary what some people survive.
And how you are capable of surviving. The human body and spirit is just incredible, absolutely incredible. I'm just doing a lot of reflecting now in the last week of my time in a refugee camp and all the vicarious trauma I was surrounded by for 6 months. The trauma that people faced fleeing their place of safety and the things that they experienced along the way was mind-blowing. And it wasn't until quite recently, I'd say in the last year or 18 months, that I realized that I still carried a lot of that vicarious trauma with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was fascinating. But the thing that I found really incredible was how the hope and the resilience that people displayed and people embodied was mind-blowing. Mind-blowing.
And when hope is run out and there is just despair, for anybody watching this, if hope is run out and if there's just despair, there is a way, and you don't have to do it by yourself, but that light can be relit.
Yeah.
And hope keeps us alive for long enough so that we can find another way. So reach out if that's your situation. Because I know I was compulsively suicidal, but only for 3 decades. So I know how dark it gets. So hang in there and reach out.
We've said it before, haven't we, Pippa? You don't have to do this alone. You're not meant to do this alone. Reach out and get help and support. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it is a sign of strength and courage to reach out your hand and ask for support.
Yeah, and this is becoming more and more known through mainstream society, the fact that it is okay to reach out and to heal and to move on and to reignite that hope and to see that flame go from like this little tiny wick of a candle to being an absolute bonfire at the beach.
Yeah. So if things are tough, You know, when things get tough, we've got to deal with our own shit. Best thing we can do for our families, deal with our own shit.
Absolutely. Do the work.
Do the work.
I don't care if that piece of luggage is Samsonite, Prada, or whatever. Unpack it.
And it doesn't have to take a long time, and you don't have to go back into the distress. Just saying. Just saying. Tim the Commando, the only reason he came to me was through a trusted friend who told him, yeah, it is true. You know, 3 to 4 sessions, that's it. He said, yeah, he didn't believe it, but he trusted this friend. And, yep, 3 sessions, new man. It doesn't, you don't have to sit for years in therapy, people. It doesn't have to happen. And you don't have to go back into the pain. You don't have to feel it to heal it. Let's not do that. I didn't like it the first time. Don't you dare take me back there again.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's reinforcing all those nervous pathways, isn't it? And just that feedback loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there we are.
Love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was a beautiful conversation and lovely to meet you.
And meet you, Pippa. And Philippa, keep up the good work.
Always. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Folks, if this has brought up stuff for you, please, please, please reach out. Find, you know, jump on my website, jump on trtptherapy.com and, you know, find somebody to work with. But this is, you don't have to do this alone. So,
and I can recommend Philippa Scott. She does fabulous work. She's now joined TRTP as a trainer to assist new students coming through. So she's very experienced and she's safe. And she gets it. She gets it. And she's got you.
Oh, well, thanks, Jude.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you. All right, folks, remember to subscribe. Remember to share. Jude, thanks again. And thanks, Pippa. Look forward to talking to you all again next week.